Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Sweet, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumbi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment. Welcome to your favorite program, it's your number one favorite talk radio station with me, David Chumbi. And as it has been the case all these days, I'm joined by my colleague, and that is, of course,
Francina Pavo.
Francina, how are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
No, I'm well. How was the week?
We are pushing.
We are pushing, ne?
Mm-hmm.
No, I like it when somebody is saying we are pushing, because, you know, Namibians, a lot of Namibians, young people and adults, you find people are really demoralized to say some of people are giving up, mm-hmm. and some of them, they are pessimists. I call them pessimists because when they look at the future, they have a negative view of the future. But when you are saying we are pushing, it's a very good thing, because that is life. You know, I was reading one book, and I like talking about it, to say one guy from China, he lived thousands of years ago by the name Sun Tzu, said, when you come to this world,
mm-hmm.
life is war. You are fighting every day. And that is being shown to us every day and what we do. And what do you think about that?
It's really okay to push.
Yeah.
And not just feel like you should give up every single day. You are the one to complain.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to be hopeful.
Yeah.
And have a positive energy.
Yeah. And it's also more than positive energy. You must work toward that. If you want to do something, let us not just speak. Let us not just wish,
mm-hmm.
but let us also do that.
Action.
And yeah, while we are in this Friday, mm-hmm. we have actually a lot of topics to discuss, and today we are loaded. We are loaded. We'll be speaking about financial prudence.
Mm.
At the same time, too, we'll also speak about, sign language, particularly when you are speaking about inclusivity of disabled people, how it's called now, people with or living with disabilities, and also the inclusivity of these people, especially when it comes to business, when it's coming to infrastructure, and also when it comes to practicality of policies, because, you know, some people, they come to the podium and say, no, we care about vulnerable children,
mm-hmm.
who are building this orphanage, but really a person is not really building an orphanage for the people that he is saying is building an orphanage for, but it's just to get money so that they can do something.
Yeah.
In the same thing also that we also need to look at, to say, if you speak about inclusivity, what do you really speak about?
Mm-hmm.
And today we'll be joined by a guest, and that guest, actually two guests, but the guest when it comes to, it's coming to people who are living with disability, and also their inclusivity in terms of infrastructure, will be introduced by Francina Pavo.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your expectations when you're going to interview this guy?
The one for a sign language interpreter, eh?
Yeah.
I really would just want clarification.
Yeah.
Because are these people really included? Are they really taken care of?
Yeah.
Mm. Like, most of the people tend to judge these people, right? And they don't want to include them in their businesses. I just want to know.
Uh-huh. And I think it's going to be a very good conversation, because him being a sign language interpreter is somebody who work between those who cannot hear,
mm-hmm.
sometimes can also not speak, but you have to communicate that language. To create that communication, it does not only require somebody to know how to interpret language, but it also requires somebody also to understand the behaviors and also the feelings of people toward one another. But yeah, before we go to those conversation, we'll be looking at University of Namibia registration fees, and from there we'll look at our expectation. We are indicating that it's a Friday, and looking there in South Africa, watching to say Julius Marema's case, he was supposed to be sentenced today, but his case is postponed. His case is postponed to April. And one of the social workers took a stand today and indicated that when it comes to Julius Malema, it's not really a person that deserves to go to jail, particularly looking at the case. But he's a family man with young children going to school. The wife depend on him and also other responsibilities. And you also see that in South Africa now, able to see that thousands of supporters, they were there at Eastern London Court giving their support, especially to the leaders of EFF, that is Julius Malema. And the case that he's being prosecuted for, or that he was supposed to be sentenced for, is a case which started in 2018, especially discharging a firearm during the gathering, and also to look at the posture and also the case of the judiciary when they are presenting that it's more than discharging a firearm. It also has political, agenda behind that. And AfriForum, they are also presenting their case. But we are yet to see what will happen in April. And, Julius Malema being the product of African National Congress, youth league, especially being mentored by Jacob Zuma, he seems like a man with nine lives too when it comes to politics, because it's not only that case, he also survived racism cases and also survived the case of tax invasion. And let us see how it's going to be, but it's going to be a very interesting 2026 moving forward. Yeah, let us look at University of Namibia. Stated that UNAM 2026 registration fees, postgraduate and non-first-time students. UNAM advises that Namibian students pursuing postgraduate studies or a second or subsequent qualification are not covered under the subsidized tertiary education funding model. These students are required to pay the compulsory registration fees and minimum tuition deposits at time of registration. Outstanding balances from previous years must be cleared before registration. Students are encouraged to familiarize themselves with the fee breakdown and payment deadlines and to use approved electronic payment methods when making payment. And yeah, that is from University of Namibia. We understand that there's an ongoing registration, and UNAM also has application and admission on point. And also when it comes to subsidized education, it's interesting for the students, for the parents also to go and also ask questions and clarity to say, are those from my house also accepted? What can I do? What are some of the best courses we should look into? Francina, just before we move forward, what do you think is the most challenging thing, especially during registration, particularly to first year students at university, at vocational institution, at college, and at vocational training centers? So what are most difficult things that personally you have encountered, especially registration at the tertiary institution?
Registration happens in January, ne?
Yeah.
And our parents have this thing of, like, most of the kids are going to school.
Yeah.
And sometimes the fees are just not there.
The money is not there.
The money is not there.
They have to go and look for cow somewhere and borrow some money.
Yes.
And it's very difficult actually to be a parent in Namibia, especially at this point in time. Especially when you find really somebody who have very smart kids, right?
Yeah.
And due to the fact that kids can be very intelligent, smart. But even if they got bursaries, sometimes bursaries start paying after all.
Yes. Short on cash? Get to where you save for a bargain combo of 5 for just 170.00 Namibian dollars. 2.5 kilograms Champion Super Maize Meal, 2.5 kilograms Bokomo Fat Cook Flour, 2 kilos Nice Rice, 2 kilos Marathon White or Brown Sugar, and 1 kilogram Grande Macaroni or Spaghetti. That's all for just 170.00 Namibian dollars. Hurry to your favorite You Save. We all say at You Save.
Bursaries. Sometimes bursaries start paying after all.
Yes.
Even if they get the loan, money to support you. So you have to struggle through this. But what do you think about, subsidized education? Is it going to help?
It's going to help.
Yeah.
But yeah, the sufferings will be there, but it will help. help later on.
Yes, dear listeners, you will be listening. I'll give the mic to Francina Pavo, especially when we are going to look at our first conversation, when we look at January, we look at financial prudence, and we also look at the lesson learned from end of the year, especially when she's going to be in the interview with one of you know, the economist, that is Rifa Nombanda. And stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 1900 hours.
Refocus and planning for the year. It is also the time when persons and businesses are looking at financial decision of making previous year and think ahead. And today we are joined by Mr. Lifa, who's an economist, and he's going to actually guide us or, you know, help us into making the right financial choices. Mr. Lifa, good evening, sir.
Good evening, and good evening to your viewers, and compliments with the new year.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for joining us today.
Sure, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Lifa, as an economist, what are the best thing individuals must do when they are coming from tough financial situations?
Well, I think it's important that one looks at their personal expenditure and cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes critical to know which unnecessary expenses can be cut, how to live within your means, but most critically, how to generate new sources of income.
Mm-hmm.
You realize that each one of us has our own unique challenges. However, basic financial principles are important. So budgeting, avoiding excessive spending, and also avoid borrowing from money lenders who charge high interest fees.
Yes.
So this tends to really put a strain on people's pockets, and more so for people who are coming from tough financial situations.
Okay. So now, a lot of us, we tend to make the wrong decisions when it comes to end of the year.
Well, you know, like the end of the year, it's festive season.
Uh-huh.
We're also in the last quarter of the year, so you have the festive season, you also have Black Friday as well.
Mm.
And during this period, there tends to be high impulsive buying. Consumers tend to buy more impulsively.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you know, those factors such as impulsive buying and not budgeting as well.
Yes.
These tend to be major factors which contribute to people making wrong decisions. Also, you realize people also borrow more money to cover necessary luxury expenses and also to satisfy their recreational habits too. So as you know, like festive season, most people will buy more, people buy alcohol, people will buy a lot of luxury goods and things like that. So people then make wrong decisions because they then buy impulsively, they don't budget,
mm-hmm.
and they don't think about the following month or the coming new year, which is January.
Mm. Okay. It's now the end yet. Is it the only time people tend to make the wrong decisions when it comes to financial?
Well, it depends. Like we said, end of year tends to be festive season.
Mm-hmm.
So people are obviously buying more.
Mm-hmm.
They're spending. People are also a more or less conscious of their financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to keep up with, you know, like they say, keep up with the Joneses. So, yeah, the end of year tends to be, we tend to see a peak in impulsive buying and spending.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we enter the new year, like now we're in January, people have a very low cash flow.
Mm.
And as such, they don't spend as much because now they're focusing on school fees, stationery, rent, and other overhead expenses and household expenses too.
There are our brothers and sisters out there that you can see this person really wants to be financially responsible. And they are trying so hard, but they get intimidated, or they just don't know how to save their money, even if it's their own money. What, how can you advise such a person, or what advice can you give to that person on how to become a really financial responsible?
Well, financial discipline is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to be quite honest with ourselves.
Mm.
We are faced with so many goods and services that we want to acquire.
Yes.
Financial discipline is a habit. And my advice would that people should start, you start slow. So you start building up through saving. So you can save, maybe you can start off as little as 300. And then as you become more and more you know, confidence and more financially disciplined, you can save more. So it's basically about starting small, and then you gradually save more. You also become more prudent in what you buy.
Mm.
You also budget more so that you keep track of your expenses and your income.
Mm-hmm.
However, these are habits that people build over time. So it's never too late to start. And it's never too early as well. So my advice would be you start small and then you gradually build up your financial discipline, your budgeting, and your saving.
Okay. Does being financially responsible have an age that, you know, you should start being financially responsible at this age, or when you start working, or yes?
Not necessarily. You can start teaching children even at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
I remember growing up, we had piggy banks,
mm-hmm.
or small teens where we would put our coins and our banknotes.
Yes.
So you build up from there, and it becomes a habit. So once somebody's an adult, it doesn't become difficult to save because they started at a very young age. So it's never too early to teach somebody how to save. You know, you can even teach young children from as young as 18, 10-year-olds, you know, teaching them the importance of saving their money,
mm-hmm.
how to utilize their pocket money. Mm-hmm. Financial literacy is a culture, it's a habit. And like all habits and cultures, charity begins at home. So what we instill in our children from a young age is very important, because then they carry it forward as they get older and they become more financially prudent and more disciplined in how they spend their money.
Mm-hmm. Is any item or anything that one can buy and be like, like when I bought this specific thing, it means that I'm financially responsible? Or are there things that which people spend on that makes them not to be financially responsible?
Well, I think it ties now back to impulsive buying.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we buy things not because we need them,
yes.
at that particular point.
Mm-hmm.
But to satisfy our instant pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
So one cannot tie it to a specific product or service to say, if I buy this particular product or if I don't, I'm financially responsible or not.
Mm-hmm.
It now goes to exactly what your habits, your spending habits are like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you budget your money? Do you track your cash flow?
Mm.
And if somebody is able to track their cash flow, to budget their money, to avoid impulsive buying,
mm.
they become financially prudent and very financially disciplined over time.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that even as one goes into business, if one ventures into business, they become even more disciplined in how they handle their finances in their business and even in their personal circumstances. Thereby improving the cash flow, the mm-hmm. household cash flow, and the business cash flow.
Yes. Do you think financial responsible must be taught in school?
I am an advocate of financial education.
Mm-hmm.
Our mantra in our business at NL Bookkeeping and Consultancy is your money must work for you, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that teaching children the importance of handling money
mm-hmm.
is important. We actually wrote an article on our Facebook page about this, where we actually advocate the importance of teaching school children the importance of money, and as they go to higher grades, like in high school, teaching them the things like taxation, inflation, and basically financial literacy. So I personally am an advocate of that, and I think it's important that children be taught these things at a very young age, such that when they become adults, they make right decisions and are able to manage their cash flow properly.
Mm-hmm. Now, I you mentioned impulsive buying. Yeah?
Yes.
One can be like, what is that? And what is the impact of impulsive buying on a person?
Well, to put it in layman's terms,
yes.
Impulsive buying, it's more of a psychological act of buying goods which you haven't budgeted for
mm-hmm.
or which you haven't planned to purchase.
Mm.
And it's basically to satisfy instant pleasures. Mm. So we see a lot of impulsive buying during festive season.
Mm-hmm.
Black Friday deals, we see a lot of impulsive buying.
Yes.
And the negative impact of impulsive buying
mm-hmm.
is people going to more debt,
mm.
especially if one is buying things on credit.
Mm.
You have less savings, and in the long term, one has a poor credit score with the bank,
mm-hmm.
which can then affect long-term plans of buying assets like a home or a car.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a lot of impulsive buying, usually during the festive season, during Black Friday, and most people do it just to satisfy their instant pleasures.
Yes.
So for instance, one can buy unnecessary shoes or unnecessary clothes, or you're at the shop and you find something that's appealing and you just pick it off the shelf and you just buy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite it's a very prevalent phenomenon. A lot of people do impulsive buying, and usually, like I said, it peaks from the festive season and during Black Friday deal.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Okay, what do you think Namibians become financial prudent in 2026?
That's a very good question.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple of things that they could do.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely avoid impulsive buying, which we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We've been seeing recent articles that Namibians now are borrowing more money from cash loans.
Mm-hmm.
I think it becomes important that if one is going to borrow money only in serious emergencies
mm-hmm.
and not to cover daily or monthly overheads. The importance of applying principles of budgeting is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
As we've just stated, budgeting helps one keep a record of their income, but most critically, their
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
Keep a record of their income, but most critically their expenses.
Mm.
The importance of planning ahead. I believe it's never too early to plan for Christmas.
Yes.
Even now in January, one can plan for the festive season.
Mm-hmm.
And what this does is that the earlier one starts saving for the end of year, the more money they will have to spend and even have surplus which they can use for the following year.
Mm.
As you know, January is known as January.
Yes.
Everybody is worried. But, you know, if one saves for the upcoming year and they do it diligently and they avoid impulsive buying and they keep track of their expenditure, you can, the importance of anticipate upcoming expenses, like you mentioned, school fees, school stationery.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait until the first of the new month, of the new year, to start looking for money to pay for school fees, for stationery. So people must anticipate these upcoming expenses. And a very important and critical one in mm-hmm. my case is, one must build a second source of income. I think it's becoming very important nowadays that people have at least two sources of income.
Mm-hmm.
This really helps, because when you have two sources of income, you have one that can cover your overheads, your daily or monthly overheads, and then you have another source of income that you can use now to invest. So find investment opportunities that can make your money grow or compound over time. So this will be my advice for Namibians for this financial 2026.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of us, we tend to make bad financial decisions, especially in December, the festive seasons. And then here comes January, school uniform. There is nothing, money to buy books. We are blaming it on January. Now, if I am an individual that really wants to be financially responsible in January and to have everything of mine right on the track, maybe do I need to avoid the festive season so I have more money in January, or what should I do?
Well, one should enjoy the festive season, mm-hmm. right? However, the point is that it must be enjoyed responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
Money must be spent wisely.
Yes.
So the key issue here is to avoid impulsive buying.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get caught up with the festive season frenzy, getting caught up with the excitement,
mm-hmm.
which is what a lot of people do. They get caught up in that. Like you say, keeping up with the Jonas, you're trying to keep up with friends and family.
Yes.
So it's important that you utilize your finances responsibly and wisely.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't treat yourself or you shouldn't buy nice things. However, don't do it in excess. That's the point. Don't do it in excess and track your expenditure. Too often when we have money, we spend our money and we then don't know where that money went. What did we spend it on?
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes very difficult to make sense of our cash flow. But if we are tracking our expenses and we are keeping up with the track of what's coming in and what's going out, we are still able to enjoy the festive season, cognizant of the fact that we have also been saving for the festive season as well.
Yes.
So if one saves for the festive season, as we said, we plan ahead, we plan for December. When the festive season comes, you do have sufficient money to enjoy the festive season,
mm-hmm.
but also you have a surplus that can take you forward now to January. So it doesn't become January anymore.
Mm-hmm.
More, you know, January, and you're able to cover the most immediate expenses that come during this month of January.
Okay. I just have a quick question that coming to the end name. Now, you find these people, a person is like saying, no, I don't have kids to take care of. Why must I be financially responsible? Or I don't have a house. I don't buy food. It's not my responsibility to buy food or this and that. Does it, in order for a person to be financially responsible, is it only because they have something to take care of, or they have somebody to take care of, or as a person in general, as a young or a grown-up person, you just need to be financially responsible?
Well, that's an excuse that people use, where they say, well, I don't have obligations. Therefore, why should I spend my money, or why should I spend my money in such a manner where I don't utilize all of it? But remember one thing, we all need money, right? We need money to pay for something. So you may not have a lot of obligations.
Yes.
But you do have an obligation to yourself. To yourself that you are well looked after. You do have an obligation to yourself that you are able to cater for emergencies. You know, sometimes we can get involved in medical emergencies and you don't have money to cover that. Because some people don't have medical aid. So how do you then cover for any medical emergency that comes up? How do you cover for any unexpected trips that may come up? Maybe you need to travel to the north. Maybe there's a wedding. Maybe there's a funeral. You know, so one has to be ready and have contingencies for unexpected events that come up in people's lives. And life does happen, and we do get unexpected situations that might require money. And you'd rather be ready than to be caught off guard and you don't have money, and now you're going and you're borrowing from loan sharks, or you're going to cash loans, or you're borrowing from relatives who, by the way, also have their own obligations too. So the responsibility rests upon the individual to realize that they too have an obligation to ensure that they have sufficient money for themselves as well.
Okay, maybe just at the end here, any advice to the Namibian people that also want to be financially responsible?
My advice to the Namibian citizen is that it's never too late to start to be financially prudent. You can start even today. You can start tomorrow. It's never too late. What is important is that you build a habit of being able to utilize your money efficiently. You're able to use your money in a manner that it works for you. And you're also able to track your income and your expenditure such that you're also able to cater for any emergencies that life might bring.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. I really appreciate the time you took to be with us today.
Thank you very much.
We are moving forward with business and economic segment with me, David Shombe, and Francina Pavo. In a short period of time, as we indicated that today we have two content of business and economic segment from financial planning and financial prudential. We are also going to look at, are the business people, is the government sector and other institution also incorporating people with sign language in their infrastructure, in the way they do business, or is just a policy for formality, or they are really included? And to unpack this, my colleague Francina Pavo got into the conversation with Wilbert Matthias to engage on that better. And Wilbert is a sign language interpreter and has been that space for a very long time, just to help us address this issue.
Okay, the inclusion of a person with disability is still a challenge when it comes to infrastructure, business and development. And today we are joined by sign language interpreter, Mr. Wilbert. So, Mr. Wilbert, good evening, sir.
Good evening, and how are you?
I'm very good, thank you, sir. Thank you very much for being with us today. I hope we are not taking much of your time. So, Mr. Wilbert, as a sign language interpreter.
Yes.
To what extent are the persons with disability included in development?
First of all, Thank you for having me here.
Okay.
I'm a professional sign language interpreter and the founder of Impact Bridge Foundation, Sustainable Community Development. And today I'm speaking both from lived experiences as well as professional practice. When we talk about to what extent are persons with disabilities included in development, I believe that is what the question is.
Yes.
Yes. In our country, the inclusion does exist. And it's more on paper than practically. Yeah, we as well have policies that are improving, especially these disability inclusion policies, but implementation is still weak. We have persons with disabilities that often are consulted late, or they are consulted symbolically. And in terms of infrastructure or digital access and employment, all this together remain a major barrier. Now, there has been progress in terms of policies and awareness, but in reality, persons with disabilities are still largely excluded from mainstream development, of which many development projects are designed without accessibility in mind, and they only try to add disability inclusion at the end. You understand what I mean by that. So, true inclusion means persons with disabilities are involved from planning, scripts from planning or budgeting, as well as all implementational stages, not only as beneficiaries, but as decision makers. So, if I can speak of our foundation, which is currently under establishment, we aim to advocate for inclusive development models where disability inclusion is not an afterthought, but a foundation. So, development that excludes persons with disabilities is complete. I mean, it's incomplete development. That is what I can comment on that one.
So basically, what you are saying is that people with disabilities are allowed to take in decision making. Like every way, they must be able to make an exception for a person with disabilities.
Exactly, that is correct.
So, what if I tend to, let me say, I own a company or a business, but my policy is that I strictly don't allow people with disabilities to work in my company or workplace or anything that I own. Is there anything that can be done to me, or is it really okay? Because it's my business, I am the one to make decision, I am the one to make the choices, who to recruit and who not to recruit. Is that an issue? Can that person face any charges?
Based on what I know, is that now every institution in our country, be it private or government, it's strictly enforced that there should be.
At ShopRite, we're helping you make your money go further with our wide range of back-to-school savings. Save big on essentials like big crystal ballpoint pens or variants for just 18 Namibian dollars 99, two per pack, 4 marks, 4-pocket school backpack, or variants for only 119 Namibian dollars 99 each, and an 8-piece primary school stationery set or 10-piece high school stationery set for a low 54 Namibian dollars 99 per set. Valid until 8 February 2026. Shop more back-to-school savings only at ShopRite.
It's strictly enforced that there should be a disability measure. There should be policies that integrate persons with disabilities overall. For example, if there are certain opportunities in that certain company, that might limit somebody with, for example, a physical disability to work on, then there should be an integrative measure to implement such other strategies that this person with the physical disability might benefit from. So what we are saying here is we are trying to have an inclusive industry or an inclusive sector where anybody from the disability community or from the hearing community is, you know, welcome to participate.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think children who cannot hear are fully operated in the current Namibia education system?
Well, the education system lies as it is. It's open to everyone, to anyone.
Uh-huh.
It's just that the educational system is not so tailored to the specific needs of persons with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can give an example of I was working in one of the mainstream schools in the north,
mm-hmm.
and I was a sign language interpreter there.
Yeah.
And we will be in a class the whole day, for example,
mm-hmm.
and I'm only doing interpretation assessments. Being the teacher is teaching,
mm-hmm.
and I'm conveying a message from spoken language into sign language. So that does not, that itself does not make it so equitable to this learner to acquire all the information, whether it has been said, whether it is written, because of the lack of mainstreaming resources or the special needs for these students. Let me say more qualified interpreters. Let me say there should be more visual training equipment for them to, you know, to be able to be equitable with that knowledge in the class.
Before we move on from that question, I just do you feel like these people that speak sign language?
Yes, they do.
Do you think they don't have enough equipment, or like what can the government or anybody, people, because there are people out there that would like to actually donate or do something. So is there enough equipment for these learners according to what you have seen, or are there still more that needs to be done?
Well, there is more to be done. The government, the civil society organizations need to come together, because
mm-hmm.
at the current state in the education system, deaf children are not fully accommodated. That could be because of the shortage of sign language interpreters or specific trainers for these kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we as well have limited schools that uses sign language, Namibian sign language, here in our country. They are very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And the deaf learners often experience language deprivation,
mm-hmm.
which is a major problem that the Association of the Deaf is also trying to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So the inclusion without access is not inclusion. Unless when we say it. So there is definitely much that has to be done. And unfortunately, like I said, the deaf children are not accommodated in the current education system.
Mm.
So the biggest issue is language access. Many deaf learners do not receive education in a language they fully understand.
Mm-hmm.
So with effect, literacy and confidence and long-term opportunities, for example, inclusion is not just about placing a deaf child in a classroom. No.
Yes.
It's about ensuring communication access equitably. So this is one of the areas that the Impact Bridge Foundation is deeply committed to advocating for. Mm-hmm. The inclusive communication models, we have various communication models that should be implemented or else otherwise adopted in mainstream schools as well as special schools.
Mm-hmm.
These are models that recognize sign language as a legitimate language. Mm-hmm. in all professions. And it should be a legitimate language of instruction and communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So basically, the schools are not enough and the kids are really not well attended to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that really the government really need to focus on. And what can parents actually do? Like, to the parents that are having deaf kids or kids that speak sign language, because we tend to blame everything on the government, but everything must first start at home, right?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, with parents of persons with disabilities or parents of children with disabilities,
mm-hmm.
Be it whatsoever type of disability,
mm-hmm.
It should start from home. The parent, number one, should be able to identify any barriers, whether it's in terms of communication,
yes,
whether it's in terms of the child's behavior, whether mm-hmm. will they cope at school or not,
mm-hmm.
to also meet the teachers halfway. So I've seen most of the parents, especially parents of children with hearing impairment,
mm-hmm.
you find them calling interpreters at their homes just to come and interpret, which is not wrong, but it was a big advantage for that particular parent to learn Namibian Sign Language at first.
Mm-hmm.
Because Namibian Sign Language,
mm-hmm.
It's one of the first languages. Let me say it's the first language of the deaf people.
Yes.
Be it whatever language is spoken at home, mm-hmm. this person does not speak and does not hear, so they use Namibian Sign Language. The parent is at a very advantageous position to learn Namibian Sign Language
mm-hmm.
through the child
mm-hmm.
and through also resources that are provided at school for the parents. I know we have special schools that provide that.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be also a good advantage if I can give another type of disability.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say physical disability.
Yes.
The parent wants to take the child to school with a physical disability,
mm-hmm.
whereas the responsibilities to keep this child moving or to keep this child, you know, going to class and all that, they tend to lie it more on the government,
yes,
rather than them identifying opportunities for growth for mm-hmm. this child. Yeah, so that is one of the things that the parents should start doing as well.
Okay.
Identifying barriers just at home.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now what are the challenges of sign language users in Namibia?
You mean the deaf people or the sign language interpreters?
Sign language users in general. Like, now you...
Sign language.
Yes.
No, sign language is used, I can say, by everyone that gets to know it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only big issue that faces the indigenous language is that
mm-hmm.
we do not have constitutional recognition.
Mm.
We do not have any legal standing position. However, we are still advocating. So, being it a language,
mm-hmm.
and it's also a very big opportunity when you put it in this economic understanding.
Yes.
It's also a good opportunity for business development as well.
Mm-hmm.
Signers in Namibia face difficulties due to, number one is vocabulary differences. I will speak from a perspective as an interpreter.
Yes.
We have this thing of, this sign is from Kavango region, this sign is from Oshana region, that one is from Kunene.
Mm.
And you find a contradiction that goes between the two people signing. It could be between a deaf and a hearing, deaf and interpreter and so on.
Mm.
So you find then one is saying, no, I don't know that sign. Where did you take it from? This one says, no, this one, we use it in Kavango region. It's straight from Kavango region. They use it from back then. So the fight in the language, it's one language, and the fight in the language is a barrier to progress.
So basically, sign language, they can also be a barrier, because a lot of people think sign language is just one language. Everybody that can speak sign language, they can understand each other. So, meaning that if I am a Vambu and the other person is a Damara, for example, when it comes to sign language, there's a difference the way you guys do signs.
Yeah, like we call it Namibian sign language, one language. And the language is made up of different vocabulary signs. Now, you will find signs that are implemented in northern parts of the country,
mm-hmm.
and also parts of the southern regions. So the only issue is that the signs that are implemented are domestic. At the level of the domestic. So, when you go, for example, to Windhoek,
mm-hmm.
you can sign the way you sign when you are in Oshakati, for example,
mm-hmm.
but there might be a slight difference in signs, simply because there are signs that are being utilized,
mm-hmm.
but not recognized nationwide.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay, this
but
is
it's one language. It does not mean whether there's Oshiwambo sign language, there's Damara sign language or what. No.
Oh.
It's just that, if I can give you an example of the way we sign Oshifuma, is when we are, how do we call it? When you are eating and you turn it around your hand and all that. So that's how we can sign it here in Oshakati.
Uh-huh.
And when you go to Luderitz,
mm-hmm.
you'll find it's another sign, because the cultures differ when you go from region to region.
Mm-hmm.
The signs will differ. However, they are not just recognized and intercorporated as one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think myself and the listeners will learn something new there. Okay, we are almost at the end. To the end, how can sign language be incorporated in the way people do business?
Sorry?
How can sign language be incorporated in the way people do business?
Well, that's a very good one.
Uh-huh.
Like I've mentioned previously, sign language is a business opportunity as well.
Business.
Yes, and not charity.
Uh-huh.
So...
Spend less and get more with Budget Beaters at WB. Get a 2-liter Rietfontein juice for only $36.99. 5 kg nice rice for just $87.99. 4 kg Kadila chicken portions for $189.99. And 2 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for only $57.99. See more month-end specials at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Uh-huh.
So, inclusion areas where sign language is,
mm-hmm.
that they are inclusive, and that will improve for example, customer reach and brand trust and all that, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So the simple steps businesses can take to be more inclusive is by training staff in basic sign language or budget for sign language interpreters at meetings. This is it's mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
And also, businesses need to have this customer accessible service.
Yes.
A deaf person should not struggle with communication when they are coming to receive your service.
Oh.
Or a person with a person on a wheelchair must not struggle to enter that building just to have your service.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure there are proper ramps on that building and there is a proper drive path for that person on the wheelchair.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, in general, if it's an inclusive market,
mm-hmm.
when services can reach anybody in the community, regardless of their physical state.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
And like I said, businesses can operate sign language by seeing accessibility as an investment. So they need to become inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
For them to be seen as an investment and not a cost.
Mm-hmm.
So, simply steps like basic sign language training for frontline staff and also providing interpreters for meetings or customer engagement and using this inclusive communication strategy,
mm-hmm.
can open business to a whole new market. So, what I'm saying is that inclusion does build trust,
yes.
builds loyalty, and it also brings innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Now, just maybe your last words to the listeners.
I might not have much to say, but I can say we need to be inclusive.
Mm.
Inclusion is not all about sympathy. You don't have to be, you know, sympathetic to include anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the rights, it's about the dignity and smart development. When we design systems that include persons with disabilities,
yes.
everyone benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the vision we are driving through Impact Bridge Foundation.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Wilbert. We actually learned a lot from you today. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening.
Have a wonderful evening, Francina. Thank you very much.
Okay.